Welcome to this Euretina Independent Medical Education Podcast, supported by Roche and Apellis. This two-part series on the diagnosis and treatment of neovascular AMD is presented by Professor Anat Lowenstein, Head of the Ophthalmology Department at the Tel Aviv Sourasky Medical Center Israel and Euretina General Secretary, and Professor Martin Zinkernagel, Chief Physician and Clinical Director of the University Clinic for Ophthalmology in Bern, Switzerland, and also the editor of Ophthalmologica, the official journal of Euretina. In this episode, they cover diagnosis of neovascular AMD, including the role of multimodal imaging and what imaging modalities they use, how artificial intelligence can help with diagnosis, and the potential for at-home OCT monitoring of patients' disease. There's a lot to learn in a few minutes, so without further ado, we will hand over the discussion to Professor Lowenstein and Professor Zinkernagel.
Welcome to the Euretina IME video interviews on vascular macular degeneration treatment fundamentals. I'm Dr. Anat Lowenstein, and today I am joined by Dr. Martin Zinkernagel. Hello, Martin.
Hi, Anat. Hi, everyone.
Very good to have you here with us.
Thank you.
Dr. Zinkernagel and myself will discuss key considerations for proactive and individualized anti-VEGF treatment approach for our patients with neovascular macular degeneration. Together, we'll address the best practices for diagnosing and monitoring disease progression, how to customize the treatment protocols, and how to set the individual outcome goals for each of our patients. We'll discuss first the diagnosis of neovascular macular degeneration and the need or ways for early intervention. Let's start with multimodal imaging and AI. So Martin, let me see what your thoughts are about the imaging modalities that we are supposed to use in our daily practice. When do we need to use just conventional imaging? When are we adding OCTA, wide field imaging into today's modern neovascular AMD management?
Yeah, so I think this is it's not a one fits all answer. You know, basically what we usually, I always do fundoscopy. I always do, or most of the time, do a color fundus imaging to have a look whether they're drusen, whether there's hemorrhage, where there's signs of exudation, also in the other eye, because this makes the diagnosis much more easy. If you have a fellow eye with signs of AMD and you have a fluid in OCT in the symptomatic eye, then the diagnosis can be done with fundoscopy and OCT, and you can be, you know, quite sure that you have the right diagnosis and that you can start treatment. It's more difficult if you have difficult cases, if you don't have, you know, classical drusen in the fellow eye, if the patient is not within the age range you would expect someone to have AMD, then would be the, you know, the moment to add additional testing such as OCTA or fluorescein angiogram.
Yeah, Martin, I totally agree. I think that the basic imaging that we should use is definitely OCT, just regular structural OCT. And of course, color fundus photography just for a follow-up and for the baseline, this is what we see in the clinical examination. This is definitely what I do on all patients. And then, like you, I'm adding OCTA or other imaging modalities that we can discuss if there is some question that needs to be addressed. This is in neovascular macular degeneration. So basically, I think we are doing the same. And if we're talking about early diagnosis of neovascular macular degeneration, do you think that there are additional imaging procedures that you would use? Do you think that there are more in cases that you really are thinking that there is high chances for progression or for development of neovascular disease? Anything else that you're using?
Yeah, this is a good question. You know, what do you do if you have no fluid in OCT, but you have a neovascular membrane in OCTA. So what do you do then? And I think, you know, in the end, you always have to question yourself, when, on what grounds do you treat? And basically, up to now, what we know from the data is that we should treat if there is fluid and not if there is an inactive neovascular membrane. So basically, I think it's still important to do multimodal imaging such as OCTA to quantify the membrane to see whether it's growing, whether there's some dynamic in it. But I would not treat on OCTA alone.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think the reason to do an OCTA in cases, for example, of double layer sign or pigment epithelial detachment that is growing, sometimes you want to make sure that there are no vessels, but in any event, until there is exudation, I would not treat. Another reason now to try and find the neovascular, early neovascular AMD is because we have upcoming treatments for non-neovascular disease that may promote not in a very high percentage, but in about 10%, the development of neovascular disease. So we want to know which are the eyes that are prone to develop neovascularization, maybe by OCTA, just to know, and maybe it will assist us in the treatment considerations, both for neovascular, which I agree with you, I don't treat until it's exudative, but also for the decision on non-neovascular management nowadays.
No, I absolutely agree. I think this will be interesting to see whether we can stratify the eyes into high-risk eyes, especially if we treat about if we talk about treatment for geographic atrophy, and see whether we can identify eyes at risk for developing these neovascular membranes with OCTA. That will be, I think, a very important and interesting thing to look at in the future.
Yeah, and another point that I want to emphasize is why bother with the detecting early? This is because we know that the earlier you detect a lesion, the less chances you have for visual acuity loss, or the better chances for a better outcome.
I totally agree with you, Annette.
So if we're doing a lot of multimodal imaging, we have a lot of data. And the question is, how can we cope with such a huge amount of data? Is there a role for AI when we are talking about all of these imaging that we have with the volume measurements and so forth? Do you think that AI can help us in assessing the various fluid compartments, volumes, decrease, increase, and how important it is?
Yes, I think it's going to be more and more important to have artificial intelligence tools for managing our patients, especially, as you mentioned, if we have more and more imaging data, such as OCTA, we may have home monitoring OCT, which provides a vast amount of data, and we all have to cope with this amount. So I think AI will really become important to cope with this amount of data, and it will dramatically improve diagnostic accuracy and our ability to screen these patients and to detect AMD earlier than we are able to detect it now, because now we just get in patients every 3 months, say, for to check whether there is neovascular conversion. And if you have other options such as home monitoring OCT or OCT devices at optician chains, which would use AI to really detect these changes, then we could get our patients earlier. And as you mentioned before, this would lead to better treatment outcomes.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I definitely think that the AI can help us, of course, as retina specialists, but also the wider community of ophthalmologists and even other healthcare practitioners, such as optometrists, and give data when to refer the patients to us for treatments. I think that we need to address also the barriers that exist with the home monitoring and the use of AI. Because even though I'm dealing with home monitoring for, I think, something like 20 years, first it was a functional test for detection of conversion from non-neovascular to neovascular, and now it is the home OCT. Still, I don't have the technology available for me in Israel out of clinical trials. And the reason is that in order for home monitoring and AI to work, you need some kind of infrastructure. It's a total new digital health model because it's not something, the home monitoring cannot be something that the patient goes and buys in the supermarket. It needs to be something that the physician prescribes. It's a physician's responsibility, but there is some kind of a center that is responsible of sending, getting the prescription, sending the technology to the patient, monitoring the compliance, reimbursing the physician, making sure that there, if there is an alert, the physician is aware of it and the patient is aware of it, and many, many, many more issues. So all my experience from home OCT, even though I'm dealing it really all my life, comes actually from clinical trials.
Yeah, so what's your opinion on this, Anat? Do you think with AI and home OCT monitoring, will there be less need for retina specialists to monitor patients, or will there be even increased need of physicians checking compliance, interpreting results,
Yeah, I definitely, it's an excellent question. I definitely don't think that the home monitoring and AI analyzing it, I definitely don't think it will replace us retina specialists. I think what it might do is give us tools to actually see our patients on a more efficient manner. Potentially, we will only need to see them when they actually develop fluid and need treatment. Thank you very much, Martin. I hope really that this Uretina IME video interviews will improve the audience's ability to effectively diagnose and treat neovascular macular degeneration patients in your individual practices. Thank you, and until next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Thanks to Professor Anat Lowenstein and Professor Martin Zinkernagel for a fascinating discussion and insight into their approaches to the diagnosis of neovascular AMD. Thanks also to Apelles and Roche for their support of this Uretina Independent Medical Education podcast. Look out for part two in this series, when Professor Lowenstein and Professor Zinkernagel will discuss setting outcome goals for neovascular AMD treatment and how the treatment approach can be customized.